constancy, follow the master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent. His first avowed intent to be a pilgrim.
So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Lord, we thank you that where two or three are gathered together, you are there in the midst. And it is always a divine appointment. It is never by chance. And Lord, I pray that each of us would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allow him to search in the inner man into the deep crevices of our heart. That, Lord, we would be more and more conformed to your will and likeness. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who will now reveal all truth to us. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, I want to share this evening on a subject that they always affect us. The Word of God always speaks to us every time, but this is an area that really causes the body of Christ and assemblies to be weak in their fellowship, in their prayers and intercessions, their faith and so on, because I want to talk about the tongue this evening. And I'm calling our teaching, don't judge people by your standards. Don't judge people by your standards. And this is a very easy thing to do. Unless a saint is bowing the knee in God's presence and asking the Holy Spirit to humble them, to deal with pride and all those things that is displeasing in his sight, we will eventually judge. And we will always do it on our standards. And that's the blindness of judging. Because we place ourselves not only as judge, but also as God. That we know best. We know what we're talking about. And what makes it worse is when people with this spirit appeal to the Word of God to back up their soulish judgment. This is what makes it so serious. And I want us to turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Remembering, we're calling our teaching tonight, don't judge people by your standards. Now, Romans chapter 2 deals with God's mercy and grace, his righteous judgment. And in chapter 2 of Romans, the first couple of verses opens up clearly in what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And that's what he basically opens up with. And what he is saying or referring to is that those who judge, he says that you also will be judged. The emphasis is in verse 2, but he says again, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. So it seems that it's something that goes on. It's practice. It's worked at. It's a fault that a believer has. And he says that those who judge, you condemn yourselves. And he says, for whoever judges practices the same thing. So very often, when saints judge, criticize one another, it's very often found also in their own lives. And this is the tragedy of it. This is the blindness of this sin. Because unless God touches a heart and opens the eyes, one doesn't see this. Because those who judge in this way will always think that God is on their side, blessing what they're saying. And that's the deception that's behind a lot of this. So it's an interesting chapter to read, and maybe in your quiet time, have a look at this and meditate, because we can't look at all of it. But what I want to hone in this evening is on verses 17 through to 24. 17 through to 24 of Romans 2. And it says here, indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. And so it goes on. But that, brothers and sisters, is not just to the Jews. It's also a warning to the circumcised, to those in the house of God. It is speaking to ministry, to teachers, all of those who share the word of God. Here is a warning to all of us. You see, we need to stop having this sort of measuring stick for each other's. It's like we get out a ruler and we measure and we look to see how far they scale up on the ruler. You see, the problem is we don't know all the facts. We don't know what God is saying to that person. And we don't see both sides. And this is such a problem and sin in the house of God. It is a problem in society. It is a problem in news media. It is a problem even in our courts, where they are supposed to stand for justice. It's because man judges and he doesn't know the facts. He doesn't know what God is saying or doing. He doesn't know and he cannot read what is in the heart of man. And yet he places himself in such a position as a judge that he knows, and he knows what is going on, and he knows with that person and has made a judgment. and it's a very fearful thing. Now, I put this, of course, very blatantly, but all of this works very subtly. And my belief, what lies behind a lot of this, is a form of control. It's a way of trying to control that person, to bring them down, to work within their mind and heart a negative, something that is against God, to draw them away from the grace and mercy of God, and instead looking to self. And when you look to self, then there is condemnation, it looks hopeless, and depression, and so on. This is a very subtle work of the enemy. And that is why the Apostle Paul, in the same book, says, as we know in Romans 8, 28, which I preached the other day, to those that are in Christ, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that is the principle. But all of us need to be on our guard with regard to this. What did Jesus say also? We know this very well in Matthew chapter 7. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. He says, "Judge not that you be not judged." Judge not that you be not judged. And what is Jesus' instructions on this? It's quite simple. He's simply saying, don't. Don't do it. Guard against it. Take it before the Lord that he works in your heart, in your tongue, in your mind, your thinking, that you don't fall into the trap of judging. Every believer who loves the Lord Jesus Christ and is filled with the Holy Spirit should go before God with regard to this one, because it's that serious. We'll look later to what Jesus says about judging. You see, Jesus is simply saying, don't do it. And yet Christians, sadly, are often the most critical and this is why I believe that this damages fellowship. It causes assemblies, churches, not to grow, not to move forward. It stunts the growth spiritually. And yet, sadly, this can so go on amongst Christendom. It goes on, as we know, in everyday activities in the world. Papers are filled every day with them judging something or someone or whatever it is, as we so know, that newspapers couldn't tell the truth if they tried. I have no time for them. I don't read them. But the point is that the whole world is always looking to someone else to blame, to judge, to point the finger. This is what sin, this is what a fallen world has done. And this is why God is delivering us from this. He's causing us to turn away, to get free from this terrible sin. Because when man stands before the throne of God, he's going to be judged on what he has said about others. And that's what's so fearful. And this should never be found with a spirit-filled believer who walks with the Lord. And yet we find that this critical spirit, this judgmental spirit, can go on in the most subtle and diverse ways. It certainly goes on in family life. Families are always ready to judge and point the fingers. Siblings are always ready to judge and point the fingers at each other. Husbands and wives are always ready to judge and point the finger. and to be negative. We find it goes on at work. It's in every field. It's in sport, politics, you name it. Judging, blackening a person's character, and so on. And so often, with that judging, often lying spirits are attached to it as well, because they don't know all the truth. And that is the whole point. And as I've said, for the Christian, it just weakens one spiritually. It not only weakens one spiritually against your love for God and God's love for you, it's a blockage there, but it also blocks relationships. This is one of the biggest problems that tries to destroy the unity and oneness of the Spirit to be found in the body of Christ. And not only that, but you find, as I've already said, there's lies that also attach to it. And even Christians lie as well. They change the truth to cover up. It's negative, it's destructive. And not only that, but it causes confusion as well. With God, who is all truth and no lie, there is no confusion with him at all. And there should not be found confusion in the house of God. That is the whole point. James, of course, has something to say about this as well. Let's turn to the book of James. Book of James, chapter 1 and verse 26. James chapter 1 and verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious or spiritual and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So there we are. It defames your Christianity. It makes a mockery of it. And yet we find so many fall victim to this. So it's obviously they're blinded in this area. They don't see. But that's the warning of what it says. Let's also look at chapter 3 of James. James chapter 3 and verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. This is why I've encouraged you, and I've said over the years, that you need God to make you very, very sensitive to what comes out of your mouth. And if that is your heart's desire and you seek God in prayer on that, then he will do this, so that you don't sin with your tongue. You see, confession is so important, as we know. The Apostle Paul speaks about confession in the book of Romans in chapter 10. Confession is vital for our Christian faith. Confession means that we line up and agree with God's word. And yet, a judgmental and critical spirit can defile that, and it means that you're not actually lining up with your confession, with your words, with the word of God. You can say you love God, you can say you read the scriptures, but it doesn't line up because sin has hindered it. And that could be why there is so much at times bad confessions, not confessing the word of God over a situation, over sickness, over promises, or whatever it is. That could be the problem why you don't always harmonize your confession with the word of God, because you're still sinning with your tongue. And it is a hindrance. It's blocking. The only way, because we've read here, James says, who can tame the tongue? Well, it can't be tamed by you. It can't be tamed by listening to a sermon tonight and after this saying, right now it's all going to change. It comes as you cry out for mercy and grace. As you seek God and mean business and ask him to tame this deadly tongue, this venom, this little thing that is in my mouth. I hand it over to you. It is in your hands. That is when you will start to see changes, brothers and sisters. And then you will find that when you say something that is critical or judgmental, or something that is negative, that doesn't line up with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will convict you. And you will be able to repent and take it back. That is what God is trying to do with us, you see. Because God knows. He knows what the fallen race has done. He knows this little thing in our mouth. He knows how deadly major wars, world wars, have been created by the tongue of man. Thousands, if not millions, of lives perished in warfare as a result of the sin of the tongue. Many have gone to jail, or sadly gone to the gallows, because of the sin of the tongue. History is filled with what the sin of the tongue has done, and it will continue to be so until Jesus comes to rule and reign on the earth. But it should not be found in the house of God. And this is why God is cleaning, he's delivering us, he's changing us. And as I've said, the only way that this will change is when you hand that tongue of yours over to Almighty God, that he will put the reins on it. He will train it. You see, the Holy Spirit is the only one who can do this work. You see, the Holy Spirit is the only one who corrects. The Holy Spirit is the only one who will reveal what is there or in man's heart. And he always, always does it without hurting and wounding us. Unlike criticism, judgment, it will always wound. But the Holy Spirit, he never wounds us. His exposure in our lives is to heal us, to restore us, and that is always the difference. Criticism, judgment, and judging other people knows nothing about healing. Knows little about the love of God and unity and fellowship. That's its problem. You see, when you are critical, you will always find with that spirit that you are harsh, you can be vindictive, argumentative. People who are judgmental, critical, there's a cruelty that is about them. They're not very nice people. And as you get delivered from this and God does this work, you will find that you don't want to be around people who are like that. Because if they can talk about people like that to you, you can be well assured they'll be talking to other people about you also, behind your back. That is their heart. And yet, this can be found in churches. I know when I was in the denominational church and I got saved, I couldn't believe the backstabbing, the judgmental attitudes, the sitting with a tongue that went on amongst the parishioners. It was unbelievable. Even in my time when I was young and got saved, that was one of the first things that started to be exposed, that I began to see one of the major sins. And I thought to myself, it's no different from the world. No different at all. But that's why God brings us away from such things. And he brings us amongst believers who love God, who love the truth, and who desire to be changed and to be like Jesus. But we all of us have to be on our guard for against all of this. And as I've said already, that if we are finding ourselves judging or making a judgment, be very careful. Make sure that you have prayed and sought God and intercede. Yes, it's not that we're blind to things or things that go on, but there is a way that we deal with something. God has not set any of us into the body of Christ to put our brothers and sisters right, as though we have all the answers. That is not what fellowship is about. Because with such an attitude, as the scriptures already say, actually, that is your problem. Those who criticize and judge, actually, what is coming out of their mouth is actually their problem. But they're blinded, they can't see it. And so if you encounter this, then you take that before God. You intercede for that brother or that sister. That God will have mercy, that he will help them, that they will see this sinning that they're doing with their tongue. Maybe that's why we've got delivered, or God's doing that work in each one of us, or even myself, because someone has taken the time to pray and intercede. See, that is what fellowship, unity, is about. As we pray one for another, and we pray about these things, this is how we get delivered. But you know, those who are critical, who judge, you'll find that they're very vindictive, they're very negative, and it doesn't matter whoever you talk about, they've always got to bring up the negative side of that person. I've met these sort of people who confess and call themselves Christians. Not only that, but they're very argumentative. They've always got their own views. They're very dogmatic, can even be bombastic. These are all the spirits that attach to those who are critical and judgmental. And they're harsh and they're cruel. This was the problem with the Pharisees, the scribes. This was what Jesus was warning them about. It's the same what Paul is speaking about in Romans. And sadly, it can go on in the house of God. You see, this spirit, it deceives you into thinking that you are superior, that you are spiritually right, that you stand right with God and they don't at this point. And so you believe, or this spirit deceives you into thinking that you can judge, you can criticize this because you have God on your side. That's its deception. That is where the devil deceives people who have this problem. That was the problem of the Pharisees. They were deceived in that area. And if you see this, brothers and sisters, with a brother or a sister, then get into prayer, get into intercession, that God will have mercy, that God will open their eyes to see what they are doing, because they have this superiority about them. It's blinding. And of course, pride is what feeds all of that. But you know, as believers, we have to work at this. And the reason we have to work at this, and the reason that we're hearing a teaching like this evening, is because it affects all. The sinning of the tongue affects all. When we say something that is not in love, that is judgmental, critical, that is affecting your fellowship, your oneness with your brother and sister and with the Lord. And this is why there can be these hindrances. This can stop people from being saved. This can stop healing and deliverance flowing in the meetings. It is such a problem. It stops the gifts from operating. It can dampen the spirit. It can bring apathy, heaviness into a church. No real praise or worship because it's sinning of the tongue. These demons are strong. And they know how to try and cause problems in a fellowship. As I've said many, many times, Satan is not stupid. But the only way our eyes and hearts are open to this is when we hear such teachings like this, and also when we humbly go before God and we hand over this little tongue, this little member, and we hand it over to God, that God will deliver us, set us free in this area. We have to only read 1 Corinthians 13 to see what love is. Love is not critical. Love believes the best, hopes for the best, endures for the best, and so on. That is the nature of how we should speak, always over each of us. Because otherwise, it affects the whole body. It's part of the cross. I believe if we take up our cross daily and follow the Lord, and we believe that the Holy Spirit crucifies us, then he's going to do it in that area as well as every other area. This is why we always come back to the cross. The victory was wrought at Calvary, and the victory was wrought over your tongue and my tongue. It's as we hand it over and we allow God to do this work, he will do it. But you have to be on your guard of anything that causes you to think of yourself superior to anyone else. And at times we've all done it, that pride will do it. You had to be careful that you've had a better education than your brother or sister had, or you know more than your brother or sister, or whatever it is. We have to be very much on our guard. You see, if I see the speck in your eye, it means I have a boulder in my own. And that's what it means every time. If you're critical and you see those things, then you have it yourself, but infinitely worse. Let's continue these words, what Jesus said in Matthew 7. Let's turn back to Matthew 7. And let's read it through to 6. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So that's an interesting point. To the point of how far you go with this, and many people who judge and are critical never know when to stop, when it starts. They go on and on and on until they try to destroy. And he says, you will be measured by that same thing. And he goes on, and why do you look at the speck at your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrites, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dog, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. So there is something very serious, isn't it? And sadly, too often it's found in churches, in the body of Christ. And we wonder why the church is like it is. We wonder why we don't see the harvest coming in. We wonder why we're not seeing miracles, healings, people being raised up, and so on. Deal with yourself first. Make sure you stand right with God. Don't look to others to blame. Look to yourself and how you stand with Almighty God. This is why we have spent so much time over the years with pride, abasing ourselves, humbling ourselves in the presence of Almighty God, because this is the only way you get delivered from all of what I've just read there. There's no other way otherwise. See, every wrong thing I see in you, God finds in me. And every time I judge and condemn, I condemn myself. So whatever you are judging in someone, or you are critical towards someone, you're actually doing it to yourself. You are condemning yourself. You are judging yourself. If this goes on, you are going to place yourself in hell. It will be your own doing. This is why it's so serious. This is why we need the fear of God, that is the beginning of wisdom. And this is the only one, and God is the only one who can set us free in this area. You see, we have to stop using this measuring stick against others. And there's another reason why we have to stop doing this. Because if you are judging and you are judgmental, you will find that everyone becomes a disappointment to you. And the only person you're really going to love at the end of the day is yourself, because you're so perfect. Nobody else measures up to your standard. You see, that's the deception of that demon and what it does. It's deceiving. In other words, they don't attain to my standards. They don't look like me. They don't talk like me. They don't dress like me. They don't pray like me. They don't sing like me. They don't look like me, and it goes on and on and on. That is what a judgmental spirit is like. And it's also vital, because it's about, as I've said at the beginning, it's about your confession. You see, if we are critical, judgmental, you cannot confess God's promises over that brother or sister. It's sheer hypocrisy. It's not what you actually want. And this is why we have to get delivered from these things, so that then out of our tongue, out of our mouth, it lines up with the word of God. It's not defiled. It's of the right heart and the right attitude. This is why when we pray one for another, we have to have the right heart and the right attitude. We desire, we want to see our brother and sister set free. We want to see them raised up. We want to see them grow and flourish in the Lord. This is why when we come to a prayer meeting, that it is important we are in true unity and oneness and fellowship so that our prayers are heard. If there is one who's coming with a wrong attitude or critical or whatever it would be, it can hinder that prayer meeting. And the devil knows how to try and do it. This is why, again, a lot of prayers go no higher than the ceiling amongst Christendom, because they're not in true unity and oneness and in agreement. And it's a hindrance. And this is why we have to call on God's help to change us in these areas. And you see, the overcomers, the sons of God, will do this because they've entered into the deeper life. They walk the way of the cross. They desire that God's house will be built through me. They're not looking to anyone else. They're looking to themselves. Lord, start with me. Build your church through me. Build that unity, that oneness, that love through me. They're not looking to anyone else. That is what a son does. All the while you're still looking to the pastor or to a brother or sister who's got the answers for your problem, you are never going to mature. It starts with me. The same as God delivering us with our tongues, it starts with me. We cannot blame anything or anyone else. And this is why we call this teaching tonight, Don't Judge People by Your Standards. The only standard that you have is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows what that standard is. And I'm simply a product of his mercy and grace. And that is why those who are truly redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and born again will never understand the mystery of why God chose us in Christ Jesus. There was nothing in any of us that appealed to God, but it was his love. Let that always be your motive and your heart. And then that keeps us all one level at the foot of the cross. There is no room for anyone to be puffed up or to think themselves superior to anyone else. There's no room for that in the true body of Christ. And I believe that we will see great changes. I believe that this message tonight has been deliverance for a lot of us. It certainly has challenged me as I've read this. And it's made me seek God. And I hope all of us also will go before God with regard to this teaching tonight, because that's how this assembly is going to move on. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the meat of this word tonight. Father, we know that we've all of us fallen short in these areas. But Father, have mercy on us. Help us to attain the standard of what we have heard tonight by your Spirit. Father, only you can tame the tongue. Only you can change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Only you can put a right spirit within us and cause us to walk in your ways. Help us, Father, to be sensitive to what comes out of our mouth. Lord, help us not to judge or to be critical or to think that we know what is going on or what is going on with that saint, for only you know the heart of man. And we will only always see one side of anything. So Lord, deliver us from these things, Father, that would still defile us and weaken us in our fellowship with you and each other. We thank you, Lord, for this teaching tonight. And Father, we mix faith with that which we have heard, that we will not only be hearers, but doers of the word. Thank you, Father, tonight for our fellowship, for bringing us together in unity and oneness. Thank you for all the saints who have come in online. I pray, Lord, that you will ever bless, preserve, and keep us all. That you will ever, in your mercy and grace, continue to work with us, delivering us, taking out all those wrong things within us, and filling us more and more with the love and grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. This we ask, Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name.
Let him in constancy follow the Master. Let